Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
A Jewish proverb says, God couldn't be everywhere at once, so he made mothers. The translation, I believe mothers have a very special place in the heart of God. And on this day, this happy Mother's Day, we honor our mothers. And it's good for us to think about how much our mothers and our mother figures in our life really, really do for us. I mean, from all I've observed, both in thinking back to my relationship with my mom and my brothers and sisters and I growing up, to watching my wife be an incredible mother, it is no walk in the park. Some studies have even suggested that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, a mother has to handle some 18,000 extra hours of generated work. And my brother, my sister, and I, we sure generated a whole lot of work for my mom. I mean, when I think back, I think about how, you know, our mom, she taught us religion. She taught us religion. When we spilled grape juice on the carpet, she told us, you better pray that stain comes out. Our mom taught us to be decisive when she said, because I said so, that's why. Very, very decisive. Mom taught us foresight. Hey, make sure that you're wearing clean underwear in case you get in an accident. She taught us a little bit of foresight there. Mom taught us irony. You just keep laughing. I'll give you something to cry about. Mom taught us stamina. You're going to sit there until you finish your spinach. Mom taught us about the weather. Looks like a tornado went through your room in here. What in the world? Mom sometimes would teach us about behavior modification. You stop acting like your father. Mom taught us about appreciation. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world who do not have a wonderful mother like you do. And Mom certainly taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. You know, it's amazing to me whenever God describes the nature of relationships with his people, he oftentimes will speak about it, comparing it to the most intimate relationships that human beings have with one another. I mean, did you ever notice how God compares this relationship that we have with him to a business partner? No. A casual acquaintance? No. No, God describes our relationships as intimate relationships, as a husband has to a wife, as a father to a child, or comforting like a mother, just a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister, or someone who would lay down his life for his friends. But seriously, Mom, you are so amazing, and you do so much for your children. You do things that only a mother can do, and today is set aside to be your day, Mom, to receive appreciation, to receive honor, to receive a well-deserved rest, and quite frankly, to be able to close the door to your bedroom and binge watch whatever you want to binge watch today with nobody else around you in your house. Whatever you need to do today, today's your day. And yet I so appreciate the encouragement given by a lady named Amy Young to actually widen the spectrum on mothering a bit. She describes herself as being in her middle years, a churchgoer who has, quote, all the parts, but just not all the goods. Those are her words. And I do love how Amy Young has widened the circle of Mother's Day when she writes, to those who are in the trenches, with the little ones every day and they wear the badge of the food stains. We appreciate you. And to those who experienced loss through miscarriage or failed adoptions or running away, we mourn with you. To those who are walking the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who do have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you today. And to those who have disappointment and heartache and distance with your children, we sit with you today. To those who have lost a mother this year, we grieve with you today. And to those who have experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who have lived through driving tests and medical tests and just the overall testing of motherhood, we're better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and who long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way that you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you in these complex paths. And to those who have envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you as well. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we both grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who've placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness, and we remember that you hold that child in your heart. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, know that we need you. And this Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. We have real warriors who are gathered online all around us. And not only do we remember you, but I'd like to take a moment and pray for you right where you are. Would you bow your head? If you're sitting close to mom and you're able to reach out and just hold her hand or put a hand on her shoulder, let me encourage you to do that. And let me pray over you. Father, I thank you so much for our mothers and for those ladies in our life who have stepped in and loved us and led us and disciplined us and encouraged us, wiped the tears away, bandaged the scraped knee. Lord, all those things that moms and mother figures have done in our lives, we give thanks. We say thank you today. Lord, we know that there are many, many, many moms who need to be honored today. And in these moments, Lord, probably the best thing that we could do is just lift them up in prayer and say, Lord, pour your Holy Spirit of grace and mercy and peace and joy and encouragement over their lives. Lord, we love our moms. We thank you for them. And we pray that today that they would be honored, feel special, and cared about. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to pray for moms and grandmothers and mother figures all over our lives. We lift them to you, and we ask you to bless them like only you can today, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you in our remaining time this morning a message about the God who comforts as a mother who comforts her child. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to the Old Testament, over to Isaiah chapter 66. It's the last chapter in the book of Isaiah. as you're finding Isaiah, man, I love some things that a guy named Duke Tabor shared that I want to share with you this morning. Just some poignant words about the way that God comforts people in difficult times. We walked through some crazy difficult times together over the last several weeks and months, haven't we? And God is one who comforts. And the way that the scriptures describe God's comfort today is actually connected to a way a mother comforts people, comforts her child. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. It gives this glimpse into the comforting nature and character of God. And God says through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 66, 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. I love that word of the Lord. So God is describing his comfort as the same kind of comfort that a mother gives. Mothers are such very, very special people. No one has more hopes, more dreams, more ambition, more love for a child than the way that a mother does. She watches over a child and hurts when their child hurts. I know in my own life, my mom has always been there to encourage, to comfort me. Many times when life has thrown me a curveball, mom was right there in my corner. Many times, in fact, she seemed to be in my corner before I even knew I needed her in my corner. And she was already there, just that mothering instinct. She's just got a sixth sense about such things, and she's just been a tremendous example of a mother's love for me. I love you, Mom, and grateful that God has put you in my life and me in yours. And as we look at one mother in Scripture in particular, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is just another example of a mother who watched over her own child. Turn, if you would, over to the New Testament with me, over to the Gospel of Luke. I want to show you several little snapshots from Luke chapter 2 and look at the way Mary mothered Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we see how Mary is just this typical mother in so many ways. I mean, she hears things, she watches things, she ponders things that she saw. Let's look at a few examples. Look with me in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 17 through 19. It says this, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But," verse 19, "Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Later on in this chapter, in Jesus' life, we fast forward a little bit, a few days. Jesus is presented at the temple, as was the requirement of the law. And during this time, Jesus' dad, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, were asking for a blessing to be pronounced over their child. And this man named Simeon shared these things over Jesus and with Joseph and with Mary. Look in Luke 2, verses 33 through 35. This is so rich. "And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" And then, to top things off, this woman named Anna, who was a prophetess, and confirmed to them what Simeon said about Jesus in verse 38. She says these words, "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." all these things that Mary heard and pondered concerning Jesus. They were the deep things that only a mother truly dwells on. The hopes, the ambitions that she just didn't know. How's God going to do all of this? How's he going to accomplish what's been said about her son? These are the same types of things that mothers hear and they hope for in their own children. They may not be prophetic words about changing the world, but they're still hopes, they're still dreams that a mom has for her child. And mothers who make a difference, they balance what they hear and what they see about their child with an encouragement for them to follow that path. However, they do it with a light touch. And later on, when Jesus is 12 years old, in Luke chapter 2, Mary has another experience that caused her to dwell on the future of her son. Look down in verses 41 through 51. Such an interesting little snapshot as Jesus is a preteen. Luke 2, verse 41 says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents didn't know it. But supposing Jesus to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for Jesus among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw Jesus, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And 12-year-old Jesus said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." See, as children grow up, they start living their own lives. During their teenage years, they sometimes may not give much thought to the heart, to the needs of their mom. I mean, it can be argued in this passage that we just read that Jesus wasn't really thinking about the needs of his mother. He was getting on with what God had called him to do. He was in his father's house, is what he said. He was in the house of God, in the temple. I love how the King James Version in the Bible states it. It says, Jesus was about his father's business. And Mary, she's just continuing to see that what she had hidden in her heart concerning what was said about Jesus when he was born is coming to pass. Now, let's look at the difference in how Jesus deals with his mother a little bit later on in life. Rather than perhaps not overtly thinking about her feelings, her heart, her needs at that temple scene when he was 12 years old, man, he sure makes sure that she's taken care of in his final moments on the cross. Look with me over in the Gospel of John. Over in John chapter 19, such a rich moment between Jesus and his mother as he's dying on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Look in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. It says this: when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Here we see that Jesus just makes sure that Mary, his mother, is going to be taken care of, going to be comforted by family and friends. He places her care into the hands of John, the gospel writer. Most think that's who it was that Jesus called the disciple there. And Jesus just knows. He knows that Mary, his mother, is going to feel lost, going to feel confused, going to feel bewildered. All of these things that were spoken of him are now seemingly falling apart, and he's being rejected. He's being despised by those who were supposed to find deliverance from him. For Mary, it was an incredibly dark day as she watched her firstborn die on the cross. And many times, mothers will be faced with their own version of what Mary is seeing. Their hopes, their dreams for their children may seem to be falling apart before their very eyes. Their lives, as they watch their children, seem to be turning out differently than what they had believed God for. Maybe they have a hard time seeing the promises of God being fulfilled in their children's life. Maybe that's where you are today. In all of the effort in making a difference in the lives of their children seem in those moments to be in vain and going up in smoke. They may even doubt that they were a very good mother at all. But the crucifixion is not the end of the story. Jesus promised that he would send the Comforter. Listen to how the King James Version states it when Jesus says in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter. The Comforter. In the book of Acts, turn with me over to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you a couple of things here about the Comforter. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit is this Comforter. One of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is that he is the Comforter from God. The story's not finished. Mary's going to see this fulfillment of the promises and the things that she's kept in her heart. Look in Acts chapter 1 with me. Look at verses 4 and 5 for a moment. "And while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Now, there's no mention right here that this was specifically spoken in Mary's presence, but there is mention that Mary is a part of this group that is obeying the instruction that Jesus was giving to his disciples. Look down in verse 14, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, "All these were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together and with the women," and with who? Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And then you get over into Acts chapter 2. Oh man, such an incredible chapter. We see the fulfillment of this promise of the Comforter being sent. The Comforter coming to the disciples and the Holy Spirit being poured out. And in those moments, Mary, too, saw the fulfillment of the destiny of her child in Jerusalem, just as it had been promised. What a ride for the mother of Jesus, Mary. And this morning, as we celebrate moms, as we've looked at some of the snapshots of Jesus's mother, Mary, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to allow the God who comforts to comfort you. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to immerse you in His presence. And allow God to comfort you, just as it was foretold in Isaiah. Look at that passage one more time. As one whom his mother comforts, God says, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That was certainly true for the people of God. And he comforts you in your home, if you'll allow him to today. I already invested some moments praying over and for our moms today, but I want to expand that time of prayer as we wrap up. And I want to pray for all who are gathered. Certainly moms, but dads and kids, single adults, grandparents, wherever you are in life, whoever you are, whatever season you're going through, wherever you need comfort, I want to pray for you that you would experience in a fresh way right now the comfort of God over your life. Would you bow your head and just allow me to pray over you? Lord, your word says that you comfort us with the comfort of a mother. And Lord, no matter what kind of relationship we have or had or didn't have with our earthly moms, I pray that we would experience the kind of comfort that you are describing in your word. And Holy Spirit, that you would comfort each person in the way that he or she needs to be comforted right now. That you'd comfort them with hope, comfort them with encouragement, comfort them with truth, comfort them by drawing them near to you, comfort them in the deepest parts of their life. Lord, where they felt far from you, comfort them and bring them near. Where they feel abandoned, comfort them and remind them you're right here. You know how to comfort because that's who you are, the Comforter. And Jesus, just as you said that you would send the Comforter, Lord, send that Comforter again in these moments in a way that each person knows that you are near. Lord, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for the opportunity to pray. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to comfort us throughout this day and the week ahead. You know where we are, you know where we've been, and you know where we're headed. Walk with us and us with you and comfort us each step of the way. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray to you. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting me pray with you and for you today. If there are other ways that I can be praying for you this week, even today, would you email me at david@arapahoeroad.org? I'd love the opportunity to pray with you, to pray for you, and just to be a person who's in your corner lifting you up in prayer this week. I'm excited about next Sunday. I hope that you'll be back with us. I'm going to begin a new series back in the Gospel of Matthew. We left off in 13, so take a guess where we're picking up. 14, Matthew 14. Matthew 14 is right in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, so we're in the halfway point, and there's some great things that God's going to show us as we walk through the next next chapter in Matthew together. I hope that you will plan to be with us. Know that our Facebook Live options continue this week. Again, next Sunday at 10:45 right here, and then Wednesday nights at 7:30. I invite you to join with me as I walk people through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and I hope that you'll be with us. Feel free to share this, like this, and let people know that they're welcome here. We hope that you'll plan to be with us. If today's the day that you practice worshiping through giving and generosity, know that you can do that here at our website at arapahoeroad.org. There's a give button right here in the upper right-hand corner. You can click on that. It'll take you to a secure space where you can put your information in and give to the Lord through the church today. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. If you haven't participated in giving, if you've never given before, do that today. Let today be the first day that you step in and experience that kind of joy and partnership of what God is doing around the world through your faithfulness and through your generosity. There's the link that you can go to do that. I want to give you a blessing. After I give you a blessing, know that there will be some words on the screen that will let you know about upcoming information regarding our plans for the future and where you can go to get that information and stay up to date as we move forward. So why don't you hold your hands out wherever you are. Let me give you a blessing on this Mother's Day. You're the one who God loves and desires to comfort as a mother comforts her own child. Draw near to God today. Draw near to God this week. Walk with Him. He longs to walk with you. And as you do, the Comforter will be in your midst. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows you and He calls you by name. Walk with Him each step of the way. Know that He loves you and know that I'll be praying for you this week. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. We're Arapahoe Road. We're in community and on mission, and that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.